afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Fuck Yeah Avenue 5, the only Avenue 5 podcast. It's probably the only Avenue 5 podcast.
Sigh. I hope it is. I think as long as... I sincerely hope it is.
Right, look, Avenue 5 episode 4 was very good and very Iannucci, and it just seemed to snap into place in a way that the previous ones hasn't. There was threat and the characters could actually do something to respond to it, and it was good.
All right. Some point... I'm too busy. I'll tell you what I'm watching as we're completely off topic immediately. I'm quite enjoying Mythic Quest. You watch that yet? That's my sitcom. I'm enjoying
it. It's on Apple something, isn't it? So I'll wait it for it to come out on Channel 4 in a year when Apple TV crashes and burns. I don't know. It'll probably be fine, won't it?
You think Apple, as in Apple, are going to crash and burn next year?
I always think that everything's like Google, where they introduce something and then cancel it the next day. How's it going, Stadia owners? Where are you in the world right now? Tell the international listeners.
I am in Portland drinking a very crunchy smoothie, which is why I occasionally make a noise, so apologies for that. I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Why is it crunchy?
It's icy. It's a coconut pineapple smoothie, which is actually genuinely very, very nice, I suspect, because I think it's about 50% cream. But if I don't know that for a fact, it's okay for me to keep drinking it. That's my logical kind of take on it.
So the crunchy bits.
And then, yeah,
is
I was in Vegas last week.
You're in Vegas? Say again. I said the crunchy bits were the coconut. Just the shell of the coconut,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe they could. I mean, for all I know, they could be, but it's very, very sugary, so I like it. I was in Vegas at DICE. You know, the DICE Summit and DICE Awards and that.
Oh, yeah.
Gave an award.
It's
that
not
DICE.
It's D-I-C-E. Isn't it?
It's definitely DICE. It does. It stands for, what is it? It's something, innovation.
Computers, entertainment.
Computer, entertainment.
Design.
I'm going to have to look that up at some point.
You were there. You don't even know.
I know. But that was fun. And Vegas remains one of my favorite / most hated places in the world.
Oh, nice.
It's fantastic. Have you ever been?
No, it terrifies me to its very core.
It's really odd. It's really odd. It's both brilliant and awful and just heightened to a crazy level. I kind of love it. I don't know what to think.
You don't know? Do you know what to think about Doctor Who? Look at me, segue back.
Beautifully done. Beautifully done.
Thank you very
much. Beautifully done. We got two episodes to discuss.
We do. It's a double bill because last week somebody, me, was ill.
Me? Oh, was it you that was ill?
I was ill. You weren't here.
I was in a hotel waiting for my flight to Vegas. Yes, you're absolutely right. So, yeah.
And there won't be one next week either, will there? Because you're, I don't know, Latvia or some fucking where. Who knows?
Where am I next weekend?
The Vincent
am I flying
Price
next weekend? Something. I think I'm flying next weekend. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
I know
why
your timetable. Yeah. But we'll be back for the finale. Just not part one of the finale.
So, well, that's my question, is this, I will get to it. It feels like this was a cliffhanger. I'm assuming that's going rolling right into the next episode, or not.
Well, the next episode is called Ascent of the Cybermen, or Ascension of the Cybermen.
That would make sense. So, yes, I think it might be, yeah.
Yes, this felt like this was a Utopia trick, where it pretends it's an independent episode, but then actually goes, surprise, we're doing that thing.
Let's wind it back and talk for 5 minutes about the rubbish episode that we're going to want to get off of really quickly.
I really enjoyed the one before this one as well.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I enjoyed
it.
Do my intro. Well, I just also want to say full spoilers for Can You Hear Me? And what was this episode called? The Haunting of Villa Dido. Villa Dido. If my life was for rent.
My tea's cold and cold. I'm wondering why. All the Cybermen are here. Spoilers. Okay.
And Picard spoilers as well, because we'll eventually just blurt out like 7 of 9 and then, you know, we'll...
it's too late at that point. There's nothing you can do. Yeah.
So Can You Hear Me was an episode of Doctor Who.
It was.
It was.
There's
see,
no,
that,
there's
there,
no
immediate
that.
Win there. It was an episode of Doctor Who, something we've not had a series of. because we've had some episodes of this series. Spyfall, that was an episode of Doctor Who. Orphan 55, I don't know what the fuck that was an episode of. Nikolai Tesla, that was pretty Doctor Who. Future of Jadoon, very Doctor Who. Praxeus, kind of Doctor Who. Can You Hear Me? Very Doctor Who. And then this one, incredibly, perfectly Doctor Who.
Perfectly?
The Haunting.
Oh, The Haunting. Doctor, the second one was perfect, yeah. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Can You See Me, right?
I rated that episode an 8 out of 10.
Yep. This is what happens when we don't talk to each other. You make bad choices, Dan. What was the consensus on the internet about it, though? Did people like that one?
Gallifrey, I actually opened this up because you were late and I was prepared. Actually, I watched a dog and then opened this up.
It's what I always ask, because I'm very conscious that my taste is never aligned with the fan base. So I always want to know how off
8 out of 10. They aligned with me with Can You Hear Me?
No.
You know what? I genuinely thought it was a great episode. I thought
it was a lovely idea. Oh, go on.
Weird, creepy finger bullshit was great. The fingers floating off and then fingering someone in the ear to steal their dreams. That's fucking Roald Dahl, mate. That's amazing. I'm into that.
It's evil BFG. That was basically, my girlfriend came in about halfway through and was like, what's going on? I was like, it's evil BFG. It's evil BFG. That's what they're doing.
The creepy dude who just appears everywhere and is doing stuff, and he's an eternal, and this is gods. Doctor Who's had gods.
Good to see them. Good to see them crossing over with the upcoming Marvel movies. That's exciting.
Well, the Eternals.
Mm.
Isn't that Marvel thing? Yeah, it's a Marvel thing, is it? Well, we've had
Eternals. Yeah.
Yeah, we've had good gods and bad gods and demigods and semi-gods, if you want to quote the 10th Doctor, which I do frequently. So there's been many sort of godlike characters in it, and I just thought it was a nice sort of... Apart from the resolution, which is why I took 2 points off, because I'm like, oh, stop sonicking things better. It doesn't work when you sonic things better. I don't like that.
I can see where you're coming from. For me, it was too many ideas in one episode, which I think is a criticism. I give quite a lot of these things. I think there was a really cool episode about gods being captured by the peoples who wanted to stop them. There's a cool idea in there about... I hate the dreams aspect. That just annoys me. It feels too... It's too far into the fantasy side of Doctor Who for my tastes. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that that's just a weird bias I have. But, like, the idea of a species using nightmares as fuel... It just all feels very Monsters, Inc. in a way that kind of bothers me. Terrible, but just...
I like... Nightmares produce certain chemical reactions and stuff in your brain. A monster that can feed off those chemical reactions doesn't seem like a...
Yeah. But I you know what? I think if you frame it in kind of that faux sci-fi way that, like, The Matrix does, right? The Matrix is, like, you know, the most inefficient way of getting energy ever, right? But, like, it just about, you know, Morpheus holds up that Duracell and I get it and I'm okay.
Do I have to now do the thing so all the comments don't? That wasn't in the original script. Originally, human brains were processing power so the Matrix ran through the human brains. And,
is that true? That was the original script.
The original script. They were processing.
The studio changed it.
It went, no one's going to understand that. Change it to the power.
That's amazing.
I have to do that fucking thing every time because all comments will be fucking full of that, mate.
I didn't know that. They'll change that back for the reboot, presumably. They'll change that back next year.
It's a sequel.
Nah, it's a reboot though, isn't it? I need to say this as someone who's worked on John Wick. I don't have any knowledge of whether or not it's a reboot or sequel.
So,
however, it's one of those soft reboots.
Let's talk about Matrix 4. I've got two theories. One is it starts with Keanu, because John Wick 4 and Matrix 4 are coming out on the same day.
They're not, though, are they?
They are.
No, they're not.
They're slated to come out on the same day.
We'll see.
Oh, what do you know? It's a John Wick insight.
I know that no two film companies are going to launch Keanu Reeves vehicles on the same day.
Yeah, but I would go to see both on the same day. Like, if it's like, go see...
It'd be one hell of a double bill, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I would go and see...
You could, and if they had a third one on, you could have a double bill and Ted. Anyway, let's not make that joke. Let's carry on with... Sometimes I like
it. And
then
have Ted 3, the bear-based awful comedy series, rocking there. You have Bill and Ted and Ted and Ted.
Stop. Please, let's stop.
Too much? Right. Too far?
Here's what the film starts as.
That was the code name. By the way, sorry, that was the code name for the game for about a year. It was called Ted. And then we were talking to someone and they thought we were doing something, you know, those kind of lectures. Yeah. TED lectures. So they started in emails referring to it as capital TED. So I had to have a very formal business conversation where I told someone the codename for the project was not TED, it was TED, because of a reference to Bill and Ted. And that was a thing I had to do in a professional setting, which made me very happy.
I'll tell you what, though, with the circular game style of doing a TED talk, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? There you go. I'll pitch that to you now. I get 50% of the money it makes.
your insight on how the games industry works is...
It's the exact same as from all any the other YouTubers. Big publisher that you can find.
50%. That's the money the person who comes up with the idea gets. 50%.
Yeah, 50%.
50. Yeah, no, it is. That's the business model, man. You've nailed it. That's exactly how it works. No, it's good. It's really great when YouTubers tell me how games work. I love it.
Well, what about when Sunday Times bestselling authors tell you how the... it's all I've got against you.
You know what? You're absolutely right. You are a published author, so you are higher up the pretension ladder than I am, aren't you? Fair play. No, you've bested me there. What are we talking about?
Matrix 4. So, I think there's two possibilities to it. One is both films have the exact same opening, which is Keanu Reeves like putting on a VR headset or some shit like that, or having a dream, and it either plays The Matrix or John Wick 4. Or The Matrix 4 is going to be really fucking meta, and it's set in our world where Keanu Reeves finishes watching the Matrix films that he starred in, and then becomes...
Well, the rumor is set in a world where the Matrix movies exist.
You're fucking kidding me. I was trying to be as stupid as possible.
Right. So I've heard the rumor. I don't know if this is true. I do need to say this, otherwise I get in trouble. I genuinely have no knowledge of what's in the Matrix. But
you literally would be giving me hand signals and shit, and this bit wouldn't be in the podcast if you had any idea.
I've definitely done the hand signal thing in the past, so we had to kind of cut off a subject. But no, with this, it's like, no, I've heard the rumors that it's set in a world where the Matrix exists. Because to be fair, that's actually kind of an interesting idea, sci-fi rise, right? Like, if we were in the Matrix, then the AI would 100% make a massive, mega famous movie about that, right?
Yeah.
So that we didn't think about it. So we thought, oh, that's just a silly story.
Wouldn't
like,
that
if
make
that
us
fed
think
or...
about it more, or is that just plausible denial? It's like Wormhole Extreme in Stargate, isn't it?
I was just going to say it's like Wormhole Extreme in Stargate. No, there is, isn't there? There's like a TV show in Stargate. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sure.
And what's really weird is anytime they do the silly episodes where they have Wormhole Extreme turn up and like they actually do all the research because the actors want to get the character. But the actors always reference the characters by their actor name. So when they're talking about Daniel Jackson, they say, oh yeah, it's Michael Shanks as played in the film by James Spade. I'm like, no, that's why you're fucking with my head here. I love it. Okay, new one. Is it going to follow the officially canon storyline of The Matrix Online?
That's interesting. So what happens in Matrix Online? Because I played Enter the Matrix. I never played Matrix Online.
Enter the Matrix was great. I just want to point
out. Enter the Matrix was great and has to be canon because it's so tightly tied into the second movie. Right?
It was designed to be a canon, sort of just a...
It's really weird. Have you ever gone back and watched those movies without playing Enter the Matrix? Because it doesn't... There's loads of gaps that you have to remember. Oh, yeah, that was a level in the game. Okay.
Yeah, no, he's just there panting. What happened? You'll have to explain later.
it's weird, though, man, because that's just... It makes you realize, like, because obviously, you know, as someone who's talked to a lot about licensed games with people behind the scenes, like... Some of the ideas that come up are like, well, let's do something that's like a side thing that then... And it's like, no, the movie will suck even more in a few years when no one's played the game. And it's like this gaping hole in the story and stuff. You kind of have to be a bit separate to maintain the quality. But yeah.
So, well, the Wachowskis...
So what happens in Matrix Online?
Well, actually, before that, the Path of Neo, which was, I think, also the PlayStation 2 era game.
That was like a best of what clips, wasn't it? Wasn't that like bits of all the movies?
But that had a new canon ending for the series. So instead of the big fight at the end, all the Agent Smiths turn into one big Mecha Smith, and it takes its sunglasses off of a nearby billboard, and then you have to fight that.
No way.
And then digital representations of the two Wachowskis turn up and explain that this is now the canon ending of the Matrix franchise, and fuck you, and then it ends. And then, like, in the white room on the sofas, and that is legitimately... a thing. So
is that them just trolling? Is that them taking the piss? Like,
I don't fucking know. But knowing that Matrix Online, amazing. Just like, I mean, it killed off Morpheus like, as soon as it fucking could. There were, like, these really boring assassins, and Morpheus gets shot by one. And then the whole Matrix shuts down and everybody dies because it closed down. And they were like, yeah, the agents won, everybody dies. Get out.
Huh.
So that was...
So what it's going to do is to ignore all of that, isn't it? Because it's going to be one of these soft reboots where it's totally a new movie. It's just, they're basically remake. They're going to remake the original Matrix. You know, Bob Zio is going to be a hacker in the modern day. Hacker slash YouTube streamer. He's gonna realize that the Matrix exists because someone FedExes him an iPhone. And he's gonna go on adventures, which ultimately lead to him realizing he has superpowers.
Yeah, but
and he'll have, like, Neo will show up at some point to tell him there is no spoon, and Trinity will be running a bar that he has to go. It's gonna be that kind of thing where it's like Force Awakens, where you have to basically remake the original. And then just put the old cast in some logical places in that story.
Are the Wachowskis making Matrix 4?
I don't know.
If they are, I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll just go, fuck it, we'll do a new story.
Yeah, well, if they're doing it, yeah, for sure.
You seem like you're frantically Googling, so I'm going to stare at your gorgeous face.
Oh, no, it is. It's, yeah, Lana Wachowski. So maybe not the Wachowskis collective, but Lana's doing it.
Ah, so I therefore now trust that it'll actually be an interesting...
That actually, no, that makes me hopeful. That puts my hopes up, yeah. No, I genuinely thought it'd be like someone else. But yeah, no, fair play. If it's her doing it, then... okay. Interesting. And David Mitchell, who I like, writing it.
Have I Got News For You?
No, from Cloud Atlas. I see what you're doing here. It's a very good joke. Okay, so yeah, maybe that'll be interesting then. That makes me more optimistic. And Neil Patrick Harris is in it, so...
Oh my god, it's a Harold and Kumar film as well. Calling it now. He'll just turn up with some random big-titted women in 3D for no reason. It'll be great. I'm into that.
This whole thing's coming together. So, and actually, like, from looking at the cast... There isn't the obviously young, new protagonist character. It looks like it actually is about Neo and Trinity doing things and going on adventures.
See?
That's interesting. Although it is sorted now. That's not sorted by seniority. That's sorted by IMDb star meter. So that's why Keanu Reeves is at the top. Okay. I was like, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I hope that's something cool.
I have intrigued you. I was just trying to make stupid jokes about it. I just want to see John Wick 4, to be honest.
So do I.
Oh my god, well that's the next franchise, isn't it? It'll be John Wick versus Neo, wouldn't it? Is it like Godzilla versus King Kong, John Wick versus Neo?
I mean, let's do the video game. This is quite in, so...
You get it, call him up!
I get it done. I'm looking forward to John Wick 4. It's going to be weird seeing a John Wick that I wasn't, like, you know... Because John Wick 3, like, I got to read the script and be in the edit suite. It's going to be weird being an audience member seeing John Wick 4 for the first time in cinema. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that'll be the exact same experience I've had with the past three films. So.
Right, yeah. No, well, I'll join you in the process, though. It'll be fine.
Apart from one, cool. When I see the DVD cover, I don't see my fucking mate's video game stuck at the front of it.
I might just go stick those stickers on the boxes anyway. I went out and bought that DVD. I think I might have said this on the podcast before, just so I could have that box with the sticker on my shelf. So I've got like... four copies of John Wick 4 now, and I've not watched any of them because I just watched the iTunes version. It's great.
I just want to point out you have four copies of John Wick 4. You just said you have four copies of John Wick 4. John Wick 4 confirmed for being finished already.
That was a slip. I already have seen the movie. It's very good. And I like the bit with Morpheus. It's all true.
At some point, we're going to realize that the continuing Matrix franchise and the continuing John Wick franchise merges into the same franchise.
So that's the joke, isn't it? Is that John Wick is the training program, right? You've heard that one.
I'm totally okay with that being a thing. Imagine if you watch John Wick and then The Matrix 4, and John Wick literally goes, and that was the training program, and then Matrix 4 starts. Double bill of shit of that. That's a reveal. That's a cinematic universe.
He's the kind of guy who would record that as well, just to give the fans the pleasure of that. So Doctor Who.
Yeah, you're right, Picard. Can you hear me with the creepy fingers? We'll talk about Doctor Who. Let's talk about
the creepy fingers were good. Well, no, I like the creepy claw fingers. I didn't like the little
tinfoil fingers.
No, that was awful.
Great, I fucking love that. Just sort of like fingers flying around, poking stuff.
No, I loved the ideas in that episode. I loved the idea of the gods, the old gods. I loved the idea of the two planets
not crashing into each other's great.
That's really cool with basically as a pincer movement to kind of capture them. That's a lovely idea. But I didn't need that then mixed with, and we're doing nightmares, and we're doing this, and we're doing monsters.
Finally, let us see what is terrifying the characters and what like sort
and
of.
And I want
is...
that episode. I'm okay with having that episode, but I don't. I want that. I just want an episode where it's about nightmares. Basically, that's the problem. I felt like
it was two or three night terrors, and it turned Karen Gillan into a wooden doll.
Cool.
You do not remember that episode, do you?
I do not, no. I've completely forgotten that episode. I think I remember three episodes from those companions. But it's basically... Yeah, it feels like there's two or three episodes there vying for my attention rather than one really well-told story, which is what the next episode was for me. And what the previous episodes were.
But it gave us companion personalities. Something we have wanted desperately.
And that was cool. I was into it.
That was cool. It was a lot of cool ideas, a lot of cool into it. Yeah, it didn't go together well. Yeah. 8 out of 10. I enjoyed it all the way through. I was enjoying it the whole fucking way through.
I don't think anything you're saying is stupid. I respect fully your opinion. I disagree with it.
That is the best way to call someone stupid I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know you think you're right.
I don't think it's stupid, but it is.
I think everything you're saying is true. I think... it fell a little overstuffed for me. I would have liked to have seen two episodes that split those ideas off gave those ideas their own room to breathe.
Yeah.
It's overdense for me. It was like a very tasty, but grossly, I can't eat more than two bites of this Christmas cake.
I hate Christmas cake.
Daniel.
How about like a just squirt cream in a bowl? You know, when you...
squirt cream in a bowl.
And you just...
Yeah, I think I've had that at a restaurant. Yeah.
Oh, Hester's, yeah.
They just squirt cream in a bowl. I'm not convinced. I think the thing I'm drinking right now, this smoothie, might actually just literally be what you just described there, because it is very... It's like when you find out that pina coladas are basically just flavoured milkshakes, essentially. Like this is 50% cream in this, I'm pretty sure.
There might be a pina colada in there.
It tastes like a pina colada. But without the fun alcohol.
Or getting caught in the rain.
I was trying desperately to think of the next lyric there, and it just didn't go through
in
time.
No one knows it. Nobody knows it.
If you like making love at midnight.
Well, it's 9:40, but I can have a go with you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it's 1:40 for me, which is even less of a time for making love.
So here's just a quick point about today's episode.
We're currently
in the middle of a massive fucking storm in the UK. Like, fences
blowing
down.
Yeah, it's gotten worse since I left, right?
Yeah, it's gotten really fucking bad. Brilliant for a haunted house story with fucking thunder and lightning. Absolutely.
Oh, you're getting the whole...
Superb, the
four-dimensional experience.
Yeah, that was, as weird cinemas like to call it. But yeah, that was a nice... extra bone. I bet Chibnall's somewhere going, yeah, come on, Storm Dennis, fuck him up. Don't cut the power, but like, yeah, let's just add that spook factor.
Leave the BBC antenna up, but you know.
Yeah, leave that up, but take a fence down. It's a glorious
thing. Do they know when that's going to finish? So I've got to fly back at some point.
It should be sort of blown out now-ish.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, by tomorrow it should be sort of, you should be all right.
I saw a video of a plane landing, but it was landing basically like vertically, which is just terrifying. Like a full...
It's called the Harrier Jump Jet. It's been around for a while.
No, it was like a full... It was like an Airbus. It was like a massive Airbus kind of passenger plane. But it was literally like vertical with a bit of wobble. It was amazing. It was incredible.
When I went to Mexico once... They had horrible, horrible turbulence and wind when we were landing in Mexico. And I looked out my window... And this was the first time I'd ever gotten a flight as an adult. And I looked out the window on landing and I could see down the runway. And that was like, ha ha! Oh no! You don't want to ever be able to see all the way down the runway during that. Not a good thing. So, I'm going to talk about the characters' nightmares, because they were interesting.
Yeah.
So we have Graham, who is everybody's favourite companion, because he has a personality. Graham is scared of his cancer coming back, which was, as you probably are unaware, caused a kerfuffle in this country. We had off-coms and, a lot of people complained about the doctor's reaction to him telling the doctor that. You know, the doctor just kind of doesn't
know. She's kind of like, I don't know, I can't deal with that, yeah. So I'm going to, like, play with my console and then in a few minutes think of what I should have said.
Yeah, which is
that's like an honest depiction of how people react to such horrible things,
Got a lot of complaints, and BBC have actually had to put out a press thing.
Because they thought she was being, like, cruel, or...
Yeah, I suppose. And I don't know, but
that's like meant to be I just took that as like a character beat of like it's a really hard thing to deal with, and people sometimes need a moment to figure it out, and that's okay.
Yeah, which is what it was intended as, but not the Daily Mail readers, not the comment sections.
So she should have been immediately there with like a pithy kind of.
She should have gone fuck it, let's go visit the cat nuns. Now you don't have cancer ever again, you know.
Right. I mean,
she could probably do that. They did say they cured every disease there, but we'll ignore that as well for the sake of the story.
I mean, with Doctor Who, you do have to ignore all of that all the time.
I'd like to. I would never give a character a disease. I'd be like, oh, no, you can just cure that. Like, that's not a problem. We just go a few years in the future. Blip, yep, that's gone. All right, carry on the adventure. Yeah, you can't really do that. Ryan's nightmare was Orphan 55, which a lot of us share as a nightmare. Yeah.
Which I liked.
It's being affected.
Because you would be. I also, I that moment, because, again, my girlfriend hadn't seen that episode, so she was like, what are those things? And I was like, oh, those are humans from the global warming future. The best moment like that in the whole episode was at the very end of the episode, Kerry turned to me and said, it's weird that they're just, like, ending this episode with, like, a PSA. And I was like, no, that's what Doctor Who is now. That's how it works. There's always a five-minute kind of, and this is the meaning behind all of this, kind of moment at the end.
Yeah, let's explain it to the children.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. It was just interesting. Someone who's not seen the series immediately latched onto that kind of, wait a minute, why are we stopping to just do a big kind of debrief here? It's weird.
Yeah. And Yaz was going to kill herself, but they didn't have the guts to say suicide. And it really dampened it.
Yeah.
They really needed... That was... Because I didn't get it until afterwards when I was thinking about it. I went, oh! And then went back and she went, oh, I see what this is heveling playing at. But there's none of those. Andrew Ellard, I think. Is that what he's called on Twitter? He did. He was writing it. The guy who does the tweet notes things. I forgot about that because I left Twitter. But
I know what you mean.
I read that one because I needed someone to talk about it. Because you weren't here. You were dicing things. He was saying that you just need the line of no bags. That's all you need the police officer to say. You know, you're going somewhere, no bags. You know, you need that. Just one more thing just to go, she was not in a good place, was our Yaz.
I'd just like to quickly take a moment to say to Connor, who just, like, I got a notification of a tweet to me saying, where's the podcast? This is it. We're in the podcast right now, Connor.
Fuck you, Connor.
This is the moment.
Jesus Christ, we're going to stop it right now. That's it. Fuck you, Connor. It's done. Game over.
We're cancelling the whole thing. Don't rush us, Connor. This takes time. This is work. This is really hard for us.
It is. After we've got this on a Sunday night. Who works on a Sunday night, apart from all the people who work on
Sunday? It's mainly just chat, and it's late as well, right? Because I'm making you work late because I went to a food cart.
Fucking quarter 10, mate. Because you had to go get a fucking pina colada slush.
It's so good, though. So good, though. It's worth betraying you. Betraying my friendship for it really was. It's great. It's like, I think it's like 20% fruit. It's so good.
It's coconut is not a fruit. I know it is, but it just, I never put it under the fruit thing. It doesn't have any of the usual fruit shit.
What doesn't? Pineapple?
Coconut. Pineapple's a fucking fruit, you dingbat. Of course, pineapple's a fruit. I'll fight you if you think pineapple's not a fruit. That's the sort of shit coconut. Connor would say. Fucking Connor.
But what is coconut? Because coconut's not a nut, right? It is a fruit.
I don't know.
It's got a shell. Is it a seed?
Maybe it's a seed.
You know what?
Don't give a shit.
Either of us could search Wikipedia. Someone in the comments is going to tell us. So why do we need? We don't even need to worry about it. We can move on. We can move
on. Also, I don't think my life would be enriched.
Connor is waiting for this. We've got to get back to work.
We've got to hurry this fucking thing up.
Cheers, Connor.
We can go for 12 hours and you'll never fucking see it.
Oh, that's what we do. That's the ultimate revenge, right? Yeah, so again, we'll re-record the whole thing.
I'm going to call this episode Fuck You, Connor. Oh, dear. Anyway, yes. So, I thought, can you hear me? Yeah, it was kind of messy, it was a thing, but I enjoyed it all the way through. I thought it was... it felt like a Doctor Who episode. Not a great one, but it felt like a Doctor Who episode, and I think I was super into it because that's momentum that this series is sort of running with now, of actually making Doctor Who episodes after...
You're right. You're right.
Quite a few episodes of not.
This feels like the weakest episode in a good run.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. No, I agree on that.
This is kind of the shit that they had during, like, Donna's run. There were some episodes in there, like, was it Sontaran's Donna? I swear Martha was in there. No, Martha came back for those ones. That sort of episode where you're like, yeah, this is Doctor Who, but it's not a great episode. But yeah. It made me feel good and happy because it's good Doctor Who. And it was kind of spooky, and I like the detachable fingers. I want fingers that can finger people from a distance. Five people at the time. Don't look at me like
that.
How many
inappropriate jokes do you think they enjoyed on their Disney production team during that?
What, the Disney production team that doesn't know what fucking Vore is? Did I say Disney production team? They don't know what Vore is.
Did I say Disney? I meant BBC. Apologies. I'm booking a Disneyland trip right now, so I've got Disney on the brain.
I was desperately trying to remember what one they fucked up before I got to the end of the sentence. It was Vore, it was, wasn't it? The start of this series.
Yes, yeah. It was Vore. Vore.
They don't know what Vore
is. Just Google it, guys. Google the names of corporations you make in fiction.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get on to the main event of this podcast. Let's talk about episodes 3 and 4 of Picard. Hey.
Yes.
I think Picard's just going from strength to strength. It's fucking ace.
I love it.
Done.
I'm seeing a lot of people kind of go, well... Honestly, I don't really understand the arguments. Just not feeling it's very Star Trek, but I think it's very Star Trek. I think it's a little. If I had one note, it would be I'd like things to move a slightly faster clip. It feels a little bit playing for time at the moment. Like it feels like they're taking their. But I'm fine with that. I like the characters, so I enjoy spending time with them. I love that all the emergency holograms on the ship are the same actor. Like, because he's an arrogant arsehole who set all of the holograms to look like him.
Or he's a hologram, which is why I'm kind of assuming he's a hologram.
Oh, you think he's an emergency captain hologram?
Yeah, I just assume he's an emergency captain.
Which would free, when they realize that, means Picard can take over the ship with no narrative limitation. That's interesting.
Or it means that as we're exploring what it means to be alive, a captain who they've all been talking to... who turns out to be a hologram.
Stealth synth.
Who was reading a book on what it's like to be alive and knowing the fear of death, which he doesn't because he's a hologram. That's why all the holograms look like him.
I am simultaneously very proud of you and pleased that you figured this out and really annoyed at you for telling me this because that would have blown my mind. And I would have felt so smug like an episode from now when I realized that. Oh, you bastard. And on behalf of everyone else listening to this who's enjoying the pod as much as we are, I'm sure they feel the same way. No, you're absolutely right. That's really obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course that's what they're doing. Damn.
The whole series is based on artificial life. All the holograms look like him. Well, what's the first thing we see him do? Well, he's pulling some sort of shrapnel blade out of him. He's not reacting to the pain. Why? He's a hologram. You don't feel pain. And he's got a holosuite where he could have got that wound from battling things.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
even though it's spoiled.
I like that they're pushing the Star Trek universe forward. That's the part that as a fan, because that was always the thing as a kid that I was obsessed with all the lore and the history and the I had all the encyclopedia and chronology and all of the kind of. I was very into the kind of the meta kind of history of that universe. So the idea that there's now more stuff at a reasonable clip makes me happy. I love they just went, fuck it, we're going to put a Jedi in it this week. That was fun.
Geralt of Rivia. I'm sorry. Geralt of Romulus, isn't it? That's what it is.
Geralt of Romulus. And that's it. That's the crazy thing is Romulans, man. I'm interested in Romulans.
I know.
I can't get over
seven
that.
7 years of TNG could not get me interested in the Romulans. A few episodes of Deep Space Nine pulled me into them. But
that's true. The Defiant stuff in DS9 was really interesting, and then later on with the war, that's true. But like, no, it's just It's just good. It's just really interesting. I love what they're doing with that. I think it's cool. I don't care about right now. I'm not enjoying the stuff on the Borg cube as much as I want to.
That's not moving.
That's what I think. That's the bit. That's the thing that's making me say it's a bit slow paced. That feels a bit. I want to see some, like, you're on a Borg cube. Like, there's so many cool, and in the fourth episode, you've got Jonathan Frakes directing.
Yeah.
So I know you can do some cool haunted house shit with that episode. Mr. Frakes, join the party. Get me some Borg running around. Come on now. Yeah. Get it done. But yeah, no, beyond that, they're nitpicks. I think it's cool. I'm enjoying the world. I'm enjoying what they're talking about with the philosophy of that world. I want to see more. I feel like it's been doing a lot of setup. I want it to move on from that. Yeah. But I think the same was true of Discovery. I remember Discovery, the first few episodes of Discovery were kind of laying foundations, and then it kicks into gear pretty strongly in that kind of second half. So I'm hoping that's the same kind of thing they're going for here. We'll see. Yeah.
I mean, it's got a lot of definitive Picard moments. Even in episode 4 had, like, two really Picard moments. Him taking down the Romulans only sign, walking into the thing and going, waiter! And I'm just like, oh, fuck yeah. That's so Picard.
I would like a drink, please.
Yeah, and then the yelling at the guy for decapitating is the center. That proper, like, proper yelling. And that they're holding his tone until they're at the dangerous situation. But it's the moment they're out of there, Picard does. That's why he really liked the Romulans, those nuns. That absolute candor is fucking Picard. That just I will tell you how I fucking feel now because there is no point in holding this back. Don't do that fucking again. And I love that. I thought that was so good.
I like that it's a fun, because almost every Star Trek series has done the Spock, right? Has done the kind of, we need a character who's either kind of struggling with what it is to be human or who has weird philosophy. And it, like, even in like DS9 with like the Ferengi, right? Like, and their societal thing, or Worf with the Klingons. Like, they've always tried to have one core character who's got that kind of different perspective and philosophy. And if Romulan of Geralt of Romulus, which is definitely what we're going to call him from now on. I like that they've introduced some interesting different philosophy. It's not logic, it's honesty. And I think that's an interesting opportunity, especially with the quality of the writing so far, the exploration of that, because that was the thing. I always the issue with Spock, when you go back now as a modern audience and watch, is like a lot of the time Spock's being a dick and he's wrong, and the show doesn't realize he's wrong. In some cases they do, but a lot of the time, like, that kind of that, you know, the focus on logic doesn't quite kind of solve the problem or make sense. So I'm interested. I think with a modern kind of take of that kind of idea, they're going to do a lot with the kind of gray areas and nuance that those kind of rigid philosophies can run into, which is very Star Trek again. So yeah, no, I'm into it. I'm hyped. I like it.
Me too.
Makes me really interested in what they're going to do with Discovery, because the next series of Discovery is obviously set in a different time period altogether, so...
Yeah, I've got, like, two episodes of Season 2 of Discovery to finish off with.
Do you know how it ends?
I've seen the trailers and shit. They get flung to the future.
Oh, okay, so... Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm assuming it's because they were battling a robot from the future, AI. I can't fucking remember. I was watching it for
the
Pike.
The second series goes off the rails a little bit.
I was watching it for Pike. He was amazing. I loved everything about him. I recently rewatched The Cage... I went back and watched the original part because I'm rewatching the original series with Rebecca. Rebecca's never seen all of the original series, and so I am watching.
I don't think I have either, to be honest. I come in with Next Gen. I've seen some episodes of the original series, but not enough of them.
It's all on Netflix if you want to catch up.
I should. Well, first I have to watch the first four episodes of Avenue 5 before it gets good. So, you know,
it's time weird, is short. Avenue 5 is so weird because the first three I had just so many I couldn't. It just didn't feel like an Iannucci thing. There was something off, and I could feel that there was something off, and the characters were rotating. I'm like, yeah, but I never liked any characters yet, and it was off, and it was this. But this next one, in this fourth one, there is a problem. Now everybody's cards have been put on the table, and where everybody stands is now been set. They go, here's a problem, we need to solve it. And for the episode, they're all bickering, blaming each other, pushing it forwards. There's tension in scenes, you know things are going to erupt. And I'm like, oh, this is the thick of it in space. This is actually what I wanted it to be. Okay. Let's see if it holds. Yeah.
And this is why you got to watch Mythic Quest, because Mythic Quest is good as well.
It's done by Rob McHenlin, isn't it? Yes, with all
it's his... Always Sunny and Phila, yes. What's his name? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that is a fucking great TV show. We should do that. We should do
it. It's not as good as Always Sunny.
No, because Sunny is like weirdly, consistently fantastic.
Yeah. You're never going to get up to that level. But it's good. And what's really weird about it is it's surprisingly good at game development. Like, it definitely... Ooh. I said this on Twitter. It definitely shortcuts and simplifies. Like, it's a company with no designers, for example. There's lots of weird kind of stuff where they've clipped how game development actually works.
Mm.
But it's compared to something like Silicon Valley where they're constantly talking nonsense. So if you're a tech person, it's kind of, I don't know, to my ear, it just really frustrated me, Silicon Valley, in a pedantic way.
Mm.
It's Mythic Quest is good enough that you're like actually enjoying it. And then a lot of the character stuff is just like very well observed. And it's that classic thing of if you're watching it and you've been in the game industry long enough, you know who the characters are based on, yeah. and you can kind of enjoy that as well. So no, it's good. I highly recommend Mythic Quest.
I have to try and find it on some. It'll be on something at some point.
Why don't you get the Apple TV thing?
Because it'll be a cold day in hell before I give Apple any money whatsoever.
Oh, is that like a political-y kind of decision? Fair
enough. No, I just used to work in tech support, and I used to get Max in with viruses in, like, oh, can you fix this? I'm like, no, there's literally nothing we can do. And they're like, why can't you do it? I'm like, because it's a fucking Mac. They are their own cult. They're over there. Just send it back. I can't do shit. Windows computer comes in, I can fucking disassemble it and rebuild it and set fire to it, and it's fine. Mac comes in broken. I'm like, well, that's dead. Throw it on the big pile. Also, I hate Max.
Yeah.
I hate them all.
Fair enough. I'm an Apple boy, so I'm good. I got all of it. I actually have a new laptop I bought today, so I need to install all that. Yeah,
good for you. I
love my Apple stuff.
Fucking two switches, and that'll do me.
Well, I hope you never enjoy any of my games because they're all made on Macs. Don't worry, I won't, says Dan.
I never have done. All of the...
Never have enjoyed any of my emotions, games.
Bollocks to
What's
it.
What's that about? Yeah,
robots
no,
on a train? Wank that.
Pointless.
John Wick Hex.
Why would robots even get on a train? They're robots.
Why wouldn't they fly? Why is John Wick, like, not, like... able to walk in anything but diagonals? What's up with that? Why is he working with these hexes? Why has he got a zigzag at people, Mike? Why has he got a fucking zigzag?
Oh, what was his zero punctuation said? It was like a Roomba. I was like, that's perfect. I love it.
No, fuck you. You make good games. I know you use that. I just don't give a shit about them. I don't like
No, fair play, man. Fair play. We've all got references on me. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, Amazon, though. Fuck, I hate that twat runs that. What's his name?
Bezos.
Yeah, he's a cunt, isn't he? But I do like Amazon Prime. So. Got Picard on it, anyway.
this specific episode of this podcast where we've bashed. Who have we insulted on this podcast? BBC, Disney accidentally, Amazon, and Apple. I mean, I'm never going to work again. Like, you've basically taken out 80% of the money in video games right now. So thank you. Thanks for that.
That's fine. Who else is there? Oh, Tim Sweeney this week. What a cunt.
I was in the room. I was in the room for the speech that was quoted.
Oh, God.
I was in the room.
Actually, when I did my news video and I got to the bit about Tim Sweeney, I was like, oh, I can't be fucked right about this asshole. I just didn't bother to mention it.
I don't think Tim Sweeney's an asshole. I'll call you on that. He's a good bloke. I don't agree with everything he
industry,
says. I'm sure
I
wouldn't agree with everything I say. No.
I assume everybody who's not Tim Schafer is an arsehole. That's my general go-to. And then you have to earn back not being
Tim
an arsehole.
Tim Schafer's the biggest arsehole of all worlds. Tim Schafer is the loveliest man.
As someone who has spoken to Tim Schafer for quite some time. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
we
cool.
had a lovely chat. We talked about Muppets. It was great.
Oh, yeah, they did that Muppets game, didn't they, back
Yeah,
in the day?
I had to ask him what it was like to work with Cookie Monster, and he said it just literally would go off on stories. Tim Schafer is legit. You know, it's like Never Meet Heroes. If you hear it's Tim Schafer, fucking meet him. He's incredible.
Yeah, no, he's a legend. Yeah,
but everyone probably. Else in the game industry, absolute cunt. There's no point in...
Absolutely,
like,
also, yeah.
That Mike Bithell guy, who I saw get mentioned in a fucking... You get mentioned everywhere. It's so annoying.
Where did I get mentioned this time?
Well, I think it was in a fucking interview with Media Molecule. Media Molecule, they were doing a... It was about dreams. It was like, why... So IGN were like, why the fuck's dreams taking so long to make? And, you know, they were like...
It's
maybe you're a gamer,
everything
actually.
About making games.
Yeah, it's because they're like, yeah, it's because it's really hard to make a fucking engine
yeah.
that anyone can use. There you go. Yeah. That's the answer. But they had a thing, and it was like, yeah, it said... their shorthand for successful indie developer was a Mike Biffle. I was like, you.
It's fuck. Just an easy name to remember. That's all it is. You, it's not. There's fuck. Nothing there to do with merit. It's just a weird name.
I'm going to call you Mike Bithell from now on. That's it. You're doomed. Everyone is.
I've had that. I've had people like introduce me on stage as Mike Bithell. It's good. I mean, I roll with it. I love it.
Yeah, it's a really annoyingly good name to have, isn't it, for a fucking
nominative determinism. That's what it is.
I have no skills in masonry whatsoever. So the name Hardcastle does not bode well.
I like Hardcastle just feels like a really like pathetic boast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How, what's your castle like? It's rock hard, mate. Rock hard castle, that one. No, obviously it's a castle, but like, is it strong? Oh, it's hard. Yeah, no, it's really hard.
Made of stone.
That's not the question I asked. Is it secure? It's hard. It's certainly hard.
If you touch it, oh, look at that. Solid that is.
You could lean on that. You could lean on that castle.
Right. Well, don't lean too hard. Let's not go crazy.
Yeah. How heavy are you? It's fine. Don't worry about it. No, it's fine. It's hard.
It's a good name for a fucking book, though, isn't it? That's a proper... If I was writing, like, murder thrillers, Hardcastle.
Oh, yeah, no, Hardcastle in, like, big, bold red letters on the front of an airport paperback would be perfect, yeah.
Fucking I could
like,
sell
it's like Patterson, isn't it? Or, yeah, no, it works.
Or God. He was a good one. He wrote a lot of books. Well,
God.
Yeah.
I believe that's where it is in the library, isn't it? The Bible is under G for God.
G, God, Bible. Yeah. Tim Schafer's Complete Works, you know, all the usual,
all the important stuff.
Yeah, next to Godfrey Jones, just God. Oh God, the Simpsons references that I can squeeze into a conversation and no one notices them is my secret superpower.
I never spot them. It's fine.
No, you haven't. I've literally not said anything that wasn't a Simpsons reference in this entire thing.
We've known each other, right?
Yeah. I'd love to write an episode of Doctor Who that is entirely Simpsons quotes and see if anyone notices it. It may have to
be
about
monorail.
Or an
episode of Simpsons, which is entirely Doctor Who quotes, right? That would be the other way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, actually, can you physically write a Simpsons episode now that doesn't quote the Simpsons? Are there too many episodes? There's too many lines of the English language taken up.
That's it. It's like it's monkeys and typewriters at this point. There's no... Yeah.
Well, they'll hit Shakespeare soon enough. That's the... Did you just call the Fox writing team... Are the Simpsons monkeys of typewriter? That's another one you've struck off.
Let's add Fox to the list of companies we have offended on this podcast.
I've got something we can talk about.
Disney, so. Go on.
We could talk about the haunting of Villa Diodati.
We could talk about that episode. Yeah. Which was fantastic. And also just one of those ideas where I was watching it and it took me an embarrassing amount of time to realise where they were going with it.
Yeah.
But when I did realise where they were going with it, and there was a Cyberman episode, surely they've done Mary Shelley meets a Cyberman before.
I don't know.
Is it the first time anyone's done that?
They've done Mary Shelley a lot with the Eighth Doctor. I think it's a Big Finish thing. Mary Shelley met the Eighth Doctor quite a bit, from what I hear, but I've never really paid attention to Big Finish. I really should.
Because Mary Shelley gets the idea for Frankenstein's monster from Cybermen.
Yeah.
Is so blindingly obvious that it feels like it should have been done 30 years ago in this series.
I'm
like,
going to look up Mary Shelley and Eighth Doctor. Because I know they did a thing.
That's got to be so hard to come up with something that seems that obvious at this point in a franchise. Because it's such an obvious good win.
This, in the Silver Turk, hours after leaving Lake Geneva, the Doctor took Mary to Vienna on 11th of September 1873, where they encountered two Cybermen. Yeah, it's been done before.
What? Not in the show, or
that was in a Big Finish audio called the Silver Turk in 2011.
So bonus points for referencing the Turk as well. The Turk?
No.
You will know. You'll know. It's the it was the chess playing machine that was built in the Victorian era. That was actually a bloke in a box.
Yes, I remember that. Wedgwick's World. They had a Cyberman that was doing that in Matt Smith's episode. It was a chess playing Cyberman.
That's right.
Look at all.
Yeah,
these.
It's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
It's one of those ideas that's just very clever. I thought that was really good, but then they handled it immensely well. Didn't quite understand the liquid metal thing. So is that a different species? Is that like another alien? Is that
no, so you really have not caught up with your Matt Smith. There
I apologize.
Oh, wait, no.
Sorry, Wedgwick's, listeners.
Wedgwick's World was the episode that we last heard of that silvery substance. Which So that was Nightmare in Silver. It was a Clara and Matt Smith episode. So it's in that small gap. When we were on the hiatus of this, I said you should watch Hyde and you should watch...
Did you?
You should watch Hyde and we should have a discussion about it. And you should watch The Rings of Akaten. And if you had watched Hyde... You did not do that. If you'd watched Hyde, you would have watched The Haunting of Villa Diodati and gone, oh yeah, no, that's Hyde. That's that episode again.
Right.
It's very close to that. I mean, this is it goes a different way at the end because that didn't have a Cyberman in it. But also in that run, we have the Cybermen and the Cybermats and the Cybermen being a massive Ultra Force and the Doctor being on an old abandoned theme park. The Doctor gets taken over and it's the Cyber, whatever it was called, Cyber something. It's always Cyber something, isn't it? But it's that really is like, something. Yeah, that gets in the Doctor's head and it's like the controlling force of all the Cybermen. So it's kind of like their main computer is what he wanted back. Is okay. As far as I read it, I think it was that was the thing. I now can't remember because my brain has seized up because it's fucking bedtime, but it's fine. You need to watch that the Clara and Matt Smith things because there's some really fucking good episodes in that shit. And so basically, the Simon wanted their big computer back so they knew everything, and the Doctor was like, "No, actually, yes," which was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the weird, creepy, spooky stuff. I shat myself a big time at one point in that episode with the unexplained ghosts, which remained unexplained right up to the end of the episode. We were like, oh no, they're going to be unexplained ghosts. That's definitely coming back. If that's not going to be referenced by the finale, I will be surprised. There's got to be something there. There's got to be some thing. What's the thing there? Come on, what's that? Is that our timeless child? Is that our...
I felt like that was maybe actually genuinely like an unknown thing that they were just going to leave.
I don't know.
Genuinely.
I don't know. I mean, if Graham gets shot and then heals himself, like, where'd you get nanites from? And then it's because he's eating that food that they gave him and it's the...
Oh, they did give him food, didn't they? There was that. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. I'm always very cautious about wanting to read into that.
See, I'm the sort of...
I think we've been trained by the previous series to kind of be like, oh, this is all coming back. I'm not sure it is. Similar to the Borrowman thing.
Look, Lenny Henry is coming back. I swear to God.
I want him to come back, but...
Yeah, he won't. He might. You never fucking know with this series. Because this is... this episode felt like proper Doctor Who. Scary house, weird shit.
Yep.
Good weird shit.
It's a good... Good, straightforward story told well. Mystery deployed at exactly the right moment. So that was my other thing with the last episode was that, you know, it was very proud of its twist.
Yeah.
And it kind of it wasn't fun until that twist hit.
Yeah.
This one, I was just having fun hanging out with those characters in that world. There's a lot of subtext if you know your Lord Byron history and all of that stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there that's kind of little knowing nods and winks. That was fun. It was a fun place to be, and then the twist happened, and that was a fun surprise.
Yeah, who was that Thingy's episode, the Emmerdale writer that we discovered.
Was it?
I think that was Maxine Alderton.
Yeah. What did I say? What did I say? Soap operas.
We both fucking say thank you very much.
You're absolutely right. We both say it. Soap opera writers.
Yeah, there you go.
They know structure. They know how to put a story together. And also how to put characters together. That was the thing, each of those individual characters had an interesting relationship to each other and to the Doctor and to the companions in that episode.
Yeah.
And like, proper, I was engaged with the love triangle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's clever.
Minor characters. I'm like, we've got three other characters. I mean, Yaz and Ryan once again sort of fell back into the background.
Sure.
Honestly, I'd watch an entire show that's just Graham lost in a haunted mansion. Because that was all gold. So many jokes landed. Really solid joke scoring.
Yep.
Really solid. And I can't remember who directed. Oh, Emma Sullivan directed that one. Really great directing on a lot of those scares. And a lot of the creepy tension good times. Like, you know, the painting falls off. You're like, ooh, painting falls off. That's a bit spooky. Then it starts bulging and you're like, ooh, you know, that's going to cut away. And then a fucking skeleton hand spider thing comes out. And you're like, okay, so we're just going. They're just showing us all of this shit. But then you get other stuff like woman silhouetted in the background. Graham goes up the stairs and then comes around the corner again. And as the thunder takes the woman away and he's like, and we're like, wait, what? One of my favorite shots of Doctor Who ever, when they're in the cellar. And she's the I can't remember who it was, she walks forwards and then like Graham and Thingy's carrying in the background and her light goes out, so she's plunged into darkness. And in the background in the cellar, you've got in the light, you've got Graham and whoever was with Graham at that point. It's just on that very thin slit of light. It was really a beautifully tense, really nicely shot.
Well, the whole thing was well shot. I watched, because I've been traveling, I watched both these last two episodes this morning, back to back. And it did night and day in terms of like, just, I don't know if they have different, I assume they would have to have different like directors/cinematographers for each episode.
These two were both done by the same director.
Are you serious?
Yeah, both Emma Sullivan episodes.
How the hell does that happen? Because this one looked so much better. Is it just, I wonder if it's because it's just a smaller scale in terms of like the number of locations and setups.
Probably, yeah.
Because it's basically just running around one house rather than now we're in a spaceship, now we're in Ryan's friend's house,
did
now
you
we're doing
recognize
this.
The house? We've seen that in Doctor Who before. Ah, will you get it? It is a Matt Smith episode where my apparent knowledge is left alone. Viewers at home, did you know what episode we've previously seen that house in?
My guess was we're going to go back towards like David Tennant and the Clockwork Fellas, but what's the Matt Smith one?
It's the final Amy and Rory episodes, the Angels Take Manhattan. That's the staircase he sits on when he heals River with regenerative energy. It's that exact same staircase, and I clocked it and went, it's the same way that in Can You Hear Me, there was the shot of the TARDIS landing in Sheffield is literally the same shot as the TARDIS landed in Sheffield in Arachnids in the UK. Mm. Yeah, it was a season behind, but I saw it and my brain went, seen that shot before. I didn't do well.
Your brain works differently to other people's brains. Like
yeah, I see this shit, I'm like, thanks. What's the quote of... it doesn't make sense because... Isn't it like Eighth Doctor quote? Fourth Doctor quote of humans are foolish because they're always seeing patterns that aren't there, whereas I'm seeing patterns that are there very much. Same director. Different writer. The last one was written by Chris Chibnall, Charlene James, and this one was written exclusively by Maxine Alderton. So this is one of our three episodes this season not written by Chris Chibnall. The other two being Orphan 55 and Nikolai Tesla's Night of Terror, not Tower of Terror. God, such
Tower of Terror. Such I watched that. Title.
And he had a tower in it. Why never mind. And we've got two more Chris Chibnall episodes coming up because we've got a two-part finale now. But I'm hyped for it. Screw it. I think it's gonna be fun. I enjoyed it. I have one problem with this season. And Chris Chibnall's run, really. Is that Chris Chibnall's run hasn't given us that definitive monster yet. And this season, all of the really high points of this season have been callbacks to other things. So we had a master reveal. The Jadoon came back. We had, another Doctor, Captain Jack. This one had Cybermen as the reveal. You know, resolution being about Daleks. All of these reveals, the best bits of Chibnall's run is when he just goes, actually, it's this! You know, whereas Moffat shuffled them and Russell Davis shuffled them better in. I mean, for a finale, he'd go, fuck it, Daleks, fuck it, Daleks and Cybermen, fuck it, more Daleks, Davros and Cybermen. But could shuffle.
It's definitely
sort of
lacking
in
new ideas in terms of new stuff that we're going to love and remember. I mean, to be fair, that's true of Moffat's run as well. But
yeah,
it's funny that I remember when we were chatting, we were texting after recorded the last podcast, and you were like, I've got it. I've figured it out. That hand is the... What are they called? The green guys from...
Oh, the Slovene, yeah.
You were like, this is the Slovene.
The big spike.
Which, by the way, I am so ready for an evil overall... Like Slovene reimagined as, like, a horrific thing.
Well, there's
I'm
that
well
one
up,
bit... In the World War III Aliens of London, there is one bit... Oh, there's episodes the other way around. There is one bit where there's CGI of the Slovene, and they're sort of chasing the corridor, and they are really fast, and they're sort of just like lanky and they're sleek and they're almost like ninja-like movement sort of thing, and they're just like, they properly are quick and their blades look longer and stuff. And it feels like the whoever did the CGI in that scene hadn't seen the fact that it was just going to be a dude in a rubber suit.
Yeah.
And didn't quite get that. So, you know, I felt like there's that sort of that little bit of history there for him.
But it's fun. It's interesting to me that, like, yeah, the stuff that we want to bring back, like either that is being brought back or that we enjoy, is that kind of Russell T Davies 9 and 10 kind of stuff, is the stuff that everyone keeps referencing back to, which is probably a bad thing. Like outside of, I mean, even the Weeping Angels were not introduced. They were introduced during Russell T Davies' era.
Yeah.
So. I need some new. I need a new awesome monster.
I mean, we That's did get the Silence during Matt Smith's one, and I was quite a big fan of the Silence. They were kind of creepy, and they sort of faded
that's
away.
That's a cool idea. That's a cool idea for a creature. Yeah. Okay. I'll give him that. Yeah.
What else did Moffat throw in our eyeballs?
Well, I mean, he did the Weeping Angels, but he did it inside, you know, someone else's run. But he's still responsible for that. So.
Yeah, I mean, we had stuff. We had really interesting things like Amy's Trace gave us the Dream Lord, sort of the darker, the seedier thoughts of the Doctor made real in Amy. You remember Amy? Have you seen Doctor Who? British TV show been going since.
I retain very little. Your capacity to remember every episode, it does remind me of how I was about Star Trek as a teenager. Like, it's the same thing.
Cool. I'm like this about Star Trek. Ask me fucking anything, mate.
I'm not criticizing your Star Trek knowledge. I'm just saying it's inspiring. I think it's cool that you've got this knowledge all locked away. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, we could. I mean, because the ones I always tell you to watch, like, you know, your Hydes and your Rings of Akaten, they've got particularly memorable monsters, but not ones that could really come back. Whereas it's that you want to come back with at least one monster that can come back and can really just, like, shit you up. Oh, I mean, because Moffat was very good and Russell Davies also at characters coming back. You know, the episode where Martha comes back, you're like, oh my god, it's Martha, or Captain Jack suddenly emerging is a great thing. If, like, 5 years down the line, fucking Ryan turns up, I'd be like, who the fuck is this twat? Who's this twat? The audience is applauding on this Netflix exclusive series called Doctor Who. You know, who's the.
Oh, it's funny because it's absolutely what's going to happen.
There's no way we're getting away with that. We've had really, they're very, when people write a monster of the week, it stays in that week. I think maybe that's the, no one's ever gone back and sort of been like, oh, that monster, but what if a little bit more? Which is why I was quite, I enjoyed the Jadoon. I really enjoyed the Jadoon coming back because we've only seen them a few times. And giving that sort of extra kick was a bit nice. I'm trying to think if there's anything that's come up before that would be interesting. Nope, because the first example I came up with was the Silurians, but they're our old enemy. Because they came back a few times after Moffat introduced them. Mm-hmm. We had the Great Intelligence, but that's an old one. Oh, Jesus, yeah, fuck it, there's nothing. Oh God, it's all gone wrong. Missy? I'll give Missy. Missy was technically a new character. They had those monks, which they were trying to set up as something big in that three-parter near the end of Capaldi's run. But that third part of it completely ruined them forever. And just, I don't know, maybe you need that. Maybe you just need the big. But then again, they're still doing new stuff with. I loved this Cyberman. And I've gone on record before to say, not a Cyberman.
No, again, that was really good. And because, again, character, like, it was, I believed it was Cyberman Hugh, wasn't it? It was basically like this kind of Cyberman reimagined as a more. The human side of it, which I loved. And then the fact that he's an arsehole as well. Say again, sorry?
Oh, I loved the Power of Love fake out with the, I have a child, let's be friends. And he's like, I'm a dad too. And I'll wait for your kid to grow up before he joins the rebellion and I will slit his fucking throat.
Yeah.
It's brutal deaths in that one. Proper just neck snaps and talking of slitting throats. And I was like, ooh, this is fucking. There's some Ofcom shit waiting happening in the background of this one.
Yeah, I need to see more episodes from this writer because I think she nailed it.
Yeah, Maxine Alderton should be in the core. I feel like whenever I watch an episode, in my head, I'm like, I'm assembling my Avengers of writing Doctor Who for when I eventually barge into.
When you eventually take Netflix. Over yeah. and well, when you're going for an interview for that position and delete every episode of this podcast the night before.
No, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not doing it that way. I'm doing it my way. Which may
you've
be
never
waiting
did, you've
until
never gone back. I go back and delete old tweets because I'm having meetings all the time. It's beautiful.
I did delete all my Twitter feed when I handed it over just because I didn't want to. Just because it was like private messages and shit to people. I was like, no, I'm deleting everything from handing it over to be polite.
Yeah.
But also, that's probably a really smart thing to do. Every now and then, Twitter should just delete all your tweets and be like, just you'll thank me later, mate. Don't worry about it. Just they're gone, yeah. And that's fine. Maxine Alderton, more from you, please. Thank you. The end. More creepy Sandman with the face bit smashed off, with cool lightning powers just appearing in the thing. I like the bones and shit being alive, because it's the cyber whatever the fuck it was, and all the weird shit in the house being a maze and not being there really, and proper ghosty spooky stuff. Really wants to make me go back and watch Hyde, though. I cannot express enough how much it made me want to go back and watch Hyde. God, if you have not seen the episode of Doctor Who Hyde, go back and watch it, because it is arguably better in some ways. It's, has one of my favourite ever Doctor moments. I'm not going to spoil it, you haven't seen it. Or you have seen it, you've forgotten it, because you're just too busy thinking about the secret John Wick 5 game you're making or some fucking shit.
It's true. I'm thinking too much about the secret John Wick 5 game. That's...
You know, sometimes, listeners, I think Mike talks down on me. Anyway, there's the... Oh, I got to go check on Gallifrey base. Let's check our scores of this episode.
Let's find out if the internet agrees with us. It's really weird, by the way, watching Doc... That one was a 9.
I would give it a 10. I'd give it a straight 10, just because I was fucking on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Yeah,
it
maybe a
10. It
did
shit
me up
a few times with spooky girls and lightning.
High 9.
It's a 9. Strong 9 there.
They were wrong last week, but they're right this week.
I think they just like Doctor Who. Most weeks
they like Doctor Who.
It's got to be pretty shit to go below a 7 on Gallifrey base. Although Orphan 55, I checked earlier, is now sitting on a 3. The highest number of votes is 3. So, that is fair. What a weird season we're having of Doctor Who. It feels like episode... just kind of kicked it up the arse and went, let's just... It felt like the other ones were sort of scripts that were hanging over from last time. Oh, we didn't get to my favourite bit about this fucking episode, which is what I've wanted for so long, which is the Doctor going to the companions and going, could you just shut the fuck up for a few minutes? I'm 2,000 years old. I'm far smarter than you. I've dealt with all of this shit.
Shut the fuck up. This is often a flat structure, but now it was it now it's Everest and I'm at the summit, which I'm using in a meeting at some point. I'm 100% going to pull that card out one day. Because anyone who's ever been in a position of responsibility has wanted to take just a moment and be like, no, shut up. Let me figure this out.
Yeah.
No, it was great.
It's nice. Very
I like that. I like a bit of anger in my Doctor. You know, I like a little bit of kind of arrogance. That's a good mode to go to every now and again.
The bizarrest thing I've ever guessed early. And you'll have to verify this, Rebecca, because they will not believe that I said this when they were talking about the poet. What's his face? What was Shelley's? Percy Shelley, wasn't it?
Percy Shelley,
yeah. When he was sitting there on the thing, and she was saying about how they have to stop him or something, I turned to Rebecca and went, we've got to save the poet, save the world. You know, the old heroes thing. And then literally that line is in the episode, like, a minute later, and I went, get out of my brain, Doctor. Get out of my brain. Oh, really, I really, really, really liked the Doctor showing him his death. And then, early death and being like, look, that's how you die. Sorry, but I had to pretend you were dead. Because he
died,
like...
Is that a pre-existing thing? I didn't remember that. Is that something the Doctor's done before?
I don't think I've ever seen that before. I thought the Doctor was, like, manipulating his brain and being like, maybe you died when you reached him for that thing. And then I remembered he fucking drowned when he was, like, 29 or some shit. Like, so it was I was like, oh, in Italy? Look at me knowing shit. I was really... I was like, oh, that's fucking bleak, that is, man. You know, or is that a gift, knowing you've only got a short amount of time? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I love Doctor Who, man. It's so good. I'd like to point out, right, it's 10:30. I'm sitting up going like, "Hey!" And Mike's just slowly slipping down the Skype camera, getting tired.
It's been a long week, man, running around Vegas doing business.
You're crashing from the fucking sugar of your pina colada and whatever was in it.
There's no way pina colada proving or disproving squirting your theory. No. We could go through life, look, okay? The important thing is we showed up for Connor. We got this done.
Fuck you, Connor. Piece of shit.
I'm with Connor on this. Connor has come to expect a standard from us, and we are running late, and it's my fault. So apologies to Connor.
No apologies.
No, fair enough.
You don't own me.
It's really, by the way, it's super weird watching Doctor Who in the morning. Never done that before.
Haven't you?
Gives it a different vibe.
It's like when Moffat was talking, when Doctor Who moved to the summer during his run, he was like, "Why the fuck is Doctor Who on at 5 p.m. in the summer? Christ. Nothing says horror like a fucking lovely day outside with all the kids riding their bikes." Yeah. At one point, Moffat was like, he literally could hear kids playing outside while he was watching his episode Doctor Who that was airing, and he literally went to go outside and go in and fucking watch Doctor Who! Which, to be fair, I probably would be shouting that. And I kind of did a little bit today. It's fine. Anyway, Mike's falling asleep. Right,
I'm falling asleep. I'm crashing hard from the sugar. It's good. It's either sugar or it's just that I've grown bored of Dan over the course of the conversation. We'll never know which one of those it is.
I'm going to say a combination of the both.
I think it's probably a combination. I think it's the right way to look.
Yeah. Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks for The Ascension of the Cybermen and The Timeless Children, a double bill.
Awesome.
And also two more episodes of Picard. And we may go on maybe another few weeks just to finish off Picard. You never know.
No, fair play.
But then move on to
this is
going to turn into... We'll do this forever.
This is just turning into Mike and Dan talk about TV they watched this week, so I'm all right with that. It's fine.
I mean, if anybody has any agreements, that like Connor will. But if anybody's annoyed and disagrees with that,
Do people want more? Do people want this to be more about other things than Doctor Who? Frankly, you're getting bored of it and would like us to stop. You know, what's the feeling out there? What's the vibe?
I'm gonna get some more coffee. Is this gonna be like a book club? Can we start suggesting TV? Have you ever seen The Lost Room?
I've not seen The Lost Room.
It's a 3-part sci-fi special that is literally one of my favorite TV shows of all time, and it's 3 episodes long.
See, that's the kind of content that we could bring to the audience if they want to keep listening to our nonsense after Doctor Who. Okay.
I mean, it's always there. It's always an option. But for now, Frankenstein, from Connor, that dickhead.
From Portland, Oregon. Connor's fine.
And from parts
unknown.
Thanks
for listening, Connor.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.